We have been walking through a sermon series entitled Overcome. And we've been looking at the life and the story of a man by the name of Joseph. And if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 40 this morning. The story actually starts in chapter 37. I just want to just catch us up to speed real quickly. Joseph, when the story starts, was a 17-year-old boy. And as many of you who have been 17, or maybe you're raising a 17-year-old child, or maybe you're around teenagers, they get to that point where, they love you, but they don't want to listen to you. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they love you, but you know they've gotten to the point where they just know what's best for their lives. And I know that doesn't happen to your children, but that happens sometimes. And as Joseph, he's 17 years old here, and has his aspirations of what he wants to do and how he wants to live his life out. It tells us in Genesis chapter 37 that he was working literally the family farm. That was something that he probably loved to do, and he probably expected to do that for the rest of his life. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you, your life has turned out exactly the way you thought it was when you were like a junior or senior in high school? Somebody raise their hand. Like, man, it's pretty much spot on, all right? And there was one brave person that raised their hand. For most of us, things change. For most of us, life happens. For most of us, things come into our life and might bring disturbance or lead us down a path possibly that we didn't want to go down. And that's exactly what happens to the life of Joseph. If you know the story at all, Joseph had two dreams. These dreams were given by God to give Joseph an understanding of what was going to take place years down the road. Now, Joseph didn't know or how it was going to take place. He just knew he had two dreams, and both of these dreams were very interesting. Both of these dreams, all right, you got to remember, Joseph was one of 12 boys, all right? Very strong woman there to raise these kids. One of 12 boys. He was number 11. And as he had these dreams, he went and had the audacity to go and tell his brothers the good news, all right? The good news that one day they're going to bow down to him. Now, as you can imagine, as any siblings would, they didn't take that news very well. Actually, they didn't take it well at all. The Bible tells us only in Genesis 37 and into 38, it says that they get very, very angry. Anybody been angry before? It says they get so angry, listen to this, they get so angry, they wanted to kill him. Here, Joseph goes and tells his dad all the things that his brothers are doing wrong out there on the fields and gets him in trouble. So you can imagine the animosity that's taking place. And so they had a desire to kill him. But there was two brothers, they said, you know what, we probably shouldn't go to that extreme. Like, yeah, he's done some bad things and we're mad at him or angry at him, but we probably shouldn't take his life. They said, hey, let's do this. How about we sell him? I had some rough moments with my brothers, you know, but I never really got to that point where I wanted to sell them off, okay? Maybe I thought about it whenever I went through with it a little bit, all right? And so what they do is that they literally sell him to a caravan of slave traders. I want to remind you that Joseph is 17 years old. Joseph is ripped away from his home. Think about this. And he's put into a position that he had no longing to be in. He finds himself in Egypt in a foreign land. He doesn't speak the language. And I can imagine all the things that he's thinking about. I can imagine all the things that are mustering up inside of him. And this morning, if I was to bet, there's probably some of you right now who have found yourself in a situation that you never thought you would be in. And for some of us, we found ourselves in a situation that have been out of our control, and we look at the situation, and there's many things that come to mind. God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why did you do this? God, I did not deserve this. I didn't ask for this. And a question that I've asked many times in my life, Lord, why me? Why me? Why have these troubles Why have these afflictions? Why have this situation? Like, why me? And so Joseph, as we finished the story last week, he ends up being second in command in Potiphar's household. Potiphar was like the chief army instructor of all Egypt. And he finds himself in a situation and he's making good choices. He's being honest. He's doing whatever he can to serve God and also serve Potiphar and his family. And Potiphar says, I'm going to put you in charge of all of my stuff, but there's one thing that's offhand. That's my wife. And this past week, I don't want to bring it up too much particularly, but we talked about temptations. Temptations that come into our lives, that always will come into our lives. And we said, when temptations arise in our lives, and they will, we must have prepared in advance of how we're going to respond. You see, Joseph had resolved in his heart that he was going to honor God with his choices, with his body, with everything that he did. And when that temptation arose in his life, justification could have taken place. Well, I need to because of who she is, or this is my job, and all of these things that many times that we compromise. We compromise. And so Joseph makes a good decision. And you would think Joseph would be rewarded for that good decision. And if you know the story, we left Joseph in prison last week. Potiphar's wife became very angry. And she told a lie to Potiphar, and so Potiphar got angry and threw him in prison. And so now Joseph, once again, finds himself in a situation that he didn't ask for, that he didn't want, that was not justified, but that's where he is. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn me to chapter 40. We're going to start in verse 1 here, and we're just going to take just a few minutes this morning. I know we're running out of time just to unpack this story, but it's such an incredible story of God's providence over the life of Joseph this morning. Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be there on the screen for you as well. Let's read that together. It says, sometime later, it says, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, why do you look so sad today? Verse 8, we both had dreams, they answered, but there was no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? He says, tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were in his cupbearer. But when all goes well, listen to this, verse 14, but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So here's what's happening here. There's two guys. One's a cupbearer, one is a baker. They were put into prison where Joseph was. The cupbearer, they both have dreams. It looks like the cupbearer, it's going to pay off for him, all right? In 3 days, he is going to be delivered from the prison, and that's exactly what takes place. And I love it. In verse 14, Joseph said, all right, listen, I got something to ask of you, all right? Anybody done favors before? Like, if I do this for you, okay, will you do this for me? That's kind of what's taking place here. So he has the conversation. He says, I'll interpret this, all right? Or actually, God will give me the wisdom to interpret this, but remember me when you get out. And so that's exactly what takes place. 3 days later, he's delivered. But the baker actually had another dream as well. And things did not go so well for him. He had a dream, and actually 3 days later, he lost his life. And so you can imagine Joseph, the kind of the mixed emotions there. And I can imagine that Joseph is someone getting excited that he's possibly going to get out of the prison. I'm sure if I was Joseph, I probably wouldn't sleep very well that night. I'm finally getting out. I know he's going to come through. I know he's going to say something to Pharaoh, and he's going to get me out of this place, this situation, this difficulty that I don't deserve to be in. Look at chapter 41, verse 1. It says, when 2 full years had passed, 2 full years. Anybody love to wait on anything in here? I mean, we don't, do we? I mean, we're fast. We want it now. One of the things that I have struggled with, and one of the things that God continues to teach me, is the understanding of waiting. All through Scripture, it uses the verbiage, wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And I can imagine as Joseph is sitting here in this prison, day after day goes by, I'm sure he's thinking, like, maybe today's got to be the day. I mean, surely he's going to wake up and he's going to remember what I did for him, and he's going to tell Pharaoh. Surely my situation is going to go away. Surely that God won't continue to allow me to be in this prison situation or this prison job or this prison relationship that we find ourselves in. Like surely God is going to come through today. What do we do as Christ followers when God doesn't come through on my terms? What do we do in that situation? Because it's something that we all struggle with. And it's something that young Joseph is struggling here. It says in verse 8 of chapter 41. It says Pharaoh talking. It says, in the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Verse 14. It says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon where he shaved and changed his clothes, and he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph responds, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So for time's sake, Pharaoh has 2 dreams as well. And as Joseph is explaining these dreams to him, he says there's going to be 7 years that Egypt is going to flourish. There's going to be 7 years that the cows are going to be fattened. Things are going to be good. There's going to be a harvest, a plentiful harvest for everyone. But then after those 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of just drought. And it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be hard. And so Pharaoh says, man, I can see that God has given you the wisdom to understand this. I can see that God has given you the understanding to see the situation that's about to take place. And Pharaoh says, who can we put in charge to make sure that we are prepared? You know who God had in mind? That little boy. Joseph. God raised Joseph in that moment to be second in command of all Egypt. To have control and to make situations on behalf of this nation. Little did little Joseph know at 17 years old of all the valleys and all the trials and all the difficulties and all the hurt and the pain and all of these things that God was using these things to mold him and to make him into the man of God that God could use in such a way, not just to affect his own family, but to affect an entire generation of people. So Joseph finds himself second in command after he had been in prison for such a long time. As I was thinking about this story, I just was praying that God would just give me wisdom of how to just relate this to our lives. Because many times when we hear these stories, we're like, man, that's a good story that happened thousands of years ago. And, you know, good for Joseph. I'm glad God worked Joseph's life out like he did. But, you know, sometimes we're like, what about my life? Like, what about my situation? And here's what I came up with, and we'll see if it pans out okay. I know what you're thinking. That's a pretty sweet box. I agree with you. All right. We've got a box here. Many of us, although Joseph was in a literal prison, spent many years there, some of us this morning feel imprisoned by relationships. We feel trapped. We wonder if things are ever going to get better. We wonder if God is ever going to intervene. We wonder if God is ever going to change the situation. We feel trapped. We feel imprisoned to those things. And we carry that burden. We carry it. We live with it. Every day. We wake up with it. We go to bed with it. Some of us this morning, I just want to be real with you this morning. Unfortunately, marriage can become a feeling of entrapment, maybe imprisonment. Man, that's not the person I'm married. And we feel trapped and we're crying out to God. God, I wish you would just deliver me from this. I wish that you would intervene. Why am I still in this prison for 2 years now? Why me? I didn't ask for this. Some of us are in debt. And that debt is weighing us down. We are enslaved to the dollar. And we don't know a way out. How did I get myself into this? It seems like every day I can't get above the ground. I can't do anything better. And this debt is just weighing me down. Maybe it's a job. Maybe this morning you hate your job, but you feel trapped. This is what we deal with every day, isn't it? We feel imprisoned. The things around us. Maybe it's our house. Maybe we're upside down on our mortgage. How am I going to pay the bills? Sell my house, I'm going to be even more in debt. And it's the things that we deal with and we live with every single day. And here's what happens many times is we allow those things in our lives. And it becomes the focus of our lives, doesn't it? And then, like, we know that God's word says, man, like keep my focus on Jesus. I mean, time and time again, focus on the Lord. He will direct your path. He will make your path straight. And then we understand that. But these things, they don't stop. These things continue to come at us. These temptations keep coming at us. Life keeps hitting us. And the question is, how do we respond as Christ followers? Here's what's happened to me before. I allow these things to be the only thing that I see. And so I'm crying out to God, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this situation? And God's saying, I'm right there. I'm right there. And here's how I respond to God. God, I don't see you. And God says, I want you to cast that box on me. I want you to cast that burden on me. Allow me to renew your mind. Because here's the thing. When our focus is completely on the things that are going on in our life, we miss out on what God is doing around us. And here's what God says. I want you to take this box and I want to carry it. I want you to drop the box. You're thinking, what an odd analogy. I understand. I get it. But what happens is, many times, is the box is the one thing where all of our focus and attention goes to. And let's be honest, it's killing us. It's destroying us. We feel hopeless in that situation. And I love what God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Go with me just a moment. What would it look like if we find ourselves in prison? Maybe not literally, but maybe in a situation. What would it look like, rather than saying, God, why did you allow these things to happen? Why is this happening? What if we had a renewing of our mind? God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to do in and through me in this situation? Because here's the thing. God was working behind the scenes. God was working in the prison with Joseph to mold him and to make him into someone who could stand on the word of God so that he could be used of God in such a way to lead his people. Let me ask you a question. What's God doing in your life? What's God doing in your life? When is the last time you heard from God? When is the last time you sought after the things of God? Because here's the thing. The things of this box, they will overwhelm us. They will overwhelm us. And I believe there's been times in my life where I have missed the voice of God. I have missed the things of God because I was so focused on the box right in my face, the struggles and the problems. And I never stopped to think, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Rather than, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want to do through this situation? What do you want to fix in me? What do you want to chisel away in me? God, are you trying to make me more like Jesus in this situation? But so many times when the box is our focus, we become so self-centered. I'm like, Brandon, you don't deserve that. You didn't ask for that. You need to get out. Three quick things. God was teaching Joseph compassion. Any compassionate people in here? I know there's a few of you. Some of you I'm going to say no to. We need you as well. But like, not as black and white. Nope. See, Joseph was that way early on in his years. Didn't really care about his response towards others, especially his brothers. Who cares what they'll think about my dreams? I don't care about their problems at all. I don't care about what they're going to react. And as this conversation with the cupbearer and the baker, God has softened his heart to be compassionate to those around him. I believe that God can use our suffering to make us sensitive to the suffering of others. Maybe this morning you've been through loneliness. You'll start to notice and care for people who are also lonely. Maybe you've been through cancer and you see people going through chemo and you get it. And you want to talk to them and pray with them and just be with them. Maybe you've been through a job loss. Maybe you've been through a divorce or a heartbreak or a wayward child. You'll see other people with those things, and instead of having a self-righteous response like they probably deserved it, your heart will break for them. And you'll move into their life with compassion. That's exactly what the New Testament calls us to do. To bear one another's burdens. To weep with those who weep. To be able to bring real comfort to people in their pain. Which you can only do if you receive God's comfort in your pain. Through Joseph's prison experience, God was turning Joseph's eyes away from himself and toward others. He was becoming a great leader. The second thing we see is God used the prison experience to produce patience in Joseph's life. You ever felt like God has forgotten you? I've been there before. I know I've shared this story probably too many times. My wife and I, we were living in California. I was finishing up seminary out there, and I was getting all trained up for that big thing that God has for me. Expectations were really high. Anyway, I interviewed for a job in Atlanta, Georgia at a church there, and they were starting up a missions program, and I didn't really know much, but just didn't feel a peace about it. Anybody been there before? You know, and my response during that time, like, it's the only opportunity. You've been there before? Like, I got to take it or there might not be another chance. That's kind of how we went into that, and we were packing up all of our stuff, and we're driving from California to Atlanta, a real short drive. Colorado, that's where we were. Get a phone call, and he's like, "Hey, man, we're excited about that." And I was like, "Pastor, can I just be honest with you?" I was like, we're coming. I didn't tell him I don't have anything else. You know what I mean? I gotta work. I got to provide for my family. I said, we just don't feel at peace about it. We just don't have a certain peace. And kind of like Joseph's brothers, he didn't take it very well. I don't think he wanted to kill me particularly. But he didn't want me anymore. It was such a rough time in my life because I just knew that God was going to provide in this way. And as you keep saying, yeah, Brandon, you keep talking about your, yes, you're exactly right. That was my plan for my life. And this will bring some laughter out of some of you. We ended up in Elk City, Oklahoma. My wife is from here. It was literally the first, like, where are we going to go? My wife is 8 months pregnant. I mean, seriously, we had that conversation. So where are we going to go? So we come to Elk City, and I'm not from Elk City. I grew up in Atlanta, and I'm just going to be honest with you, this was culture shock beyond belief. I'm like, you have no idea. I didn't have a job, and my mother and father-in-law, they're farmers. More my father-in-law. He's like, hey, man, I could really use a tractor hand. I grew up in the city. I just want to keep reiterating that. And I got to be honest with you. I hated it. I did. I hated it. And I was asking all of those questions. God, why? Why would you leave me here? And I love Elk City now. Please hear my heart. This was a long time ago. God's healed me. It's what I needed. And God used that time at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., out on the rake. I think that's what it's called. Those moments before God, just like in tears, asking why. And I just remember the small, still voice. Brandon, just wait on me. Just wait on me. And God, I can't tell you that God just renewed me. He renewed me. And he got my eyes off of me and back on him. I needed that. And it's part of my testimony even today that God has just used for me. I thought it was a terrible situation. It really wasn't that bad at all. Come on. Not bad at all. Some of you are like, I love it. I know. I love it now. I do. Then I didn't. But God needed to do that in me. And I think some of us this morning, God needs to do something in you. You see, when we get ourselves in situations sometimes out of our control, we want to get out. We do. It's normal. But I believe God many times uses very difficult situations in our life, many times out of our control. Let's be honest, sometimes we stumble and fall into those things. Sometimes it's our own choices. I get that. But God is the one who wants to restore. He wants to redeem. He wants to bring hope into our lives. God's word says, I have a purpose and a plan for your life. My question, do you really believe that? God was producing compassion and patience in Joseph. And the last thing, he was producing boldness. See, Joseph comes face to face in chapter 41, verse 14, with Pharaoh, most powerful man, probably of the day. It says in verse 14, it says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon when he had shaved and changed his clothes. He came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one could interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Here's Joseph's response. I cannot do it. I can't. Like there's nothing in me that I can help you, sir. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't do it for you, Pharaoh. But I know someone who can. I know someone who can. You see, Joseph had an opportunity to make a stand for the things of God, and he did exactly that. What about you? You see, Joseph had gotten to the point in his life where he feared God more than he feared man. Joseph had gotten to the point in his life where he understood that his life was in the hands of God. And yeah, he might not like his current situation, but he knew that he was a child of God, and he knew that he had resolved in his heart that he wanted his life to honor God in all that he did. So Joseph spoke with boldness. And little did Joseph know that God would use this little boy to be a blessing to a nation. To restore his family.
See, God still wants to do miraculous things even today. I believe that. I believe God wants to use you. I believe God has a purpose for you. But my question is, are we so concerned about the box that we are missing out on what God has for us, even in the midst of trials? You see, God's word says that the church should be about carrying each other's burdens. We want to be about that. But God wants to work even in the midst of difficult situations. I have experienced that. I know you have experienced that. So as we close, I want to ask you this question. How's God working in your life? How is God working in your life? Maybe your response is, Brandon, I haven't heard from God in a really long time. I haven't seen God in a really long time. What is it that's keeping you from hearing from God? What is it that's keeping you from feeling the presence of God in your life? As God's word says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God who worked in and through the life of Joseph is the same God that we gather and that we worship. And as we open up God's word and His presence and His power, wants to work in and through your life through the work of the Holy Spirit. And my question to you is how has God been speaking and working in your life? I want to make this so personal. Because here's what we do sometimes. I sure wish this person could hear this message. They need it. That's how I was when I ended up in Elk City the first time. Like everybody else needed, but not me. God, why have you brought this in on my life? Rather than seeing the perspective, God, what do you want to do through this? Yeah, it didn't work out the way I wanted to, but God, what are you doing here? And if it's all about you, I want to be a part of it. Let's close our eyes as we finish up. God, as I read this story, God, I so connect with it. God, as I can imagine, Joseph had his plans and aspirations, Father, and things did not work out the way he ever imagined. But Lord, you worked, and you want to work and do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. So that it brings you glory. So that it builds your kingdom. Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to that today and this week, Lord, as we go about our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we will come into reflection, Lord. God, what is it? Lord God, what is it that you want to work on in me, Lord? Lord, what is it that you want to chisel away so that you can make me more like Jesus, God? And Lord, I pray that our desire would be to honor you in everything that we do, God, in the temptations, in the trials, in the good times, in the bad, in our choices of our language, God, whatever it might be, God, I pray that we would make choices that honor you no matter the outcome. Father, thank you for today. Lord, may we live lives as Joseph with reckless abandon, God, because of your love for us, Father. Lord, thank you for letting it be Mother's Day today, God. Thank you for them. Thank you for the blessing, Lord. My life has been impacted by a godly mother, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the families who stood before us wanting to dedicate their children before you. God, I pray that you would move in our lives. So that we could be about building your kingdom. God, we just thank you for today, Lord, as we leave this place. God, I pray that we would, Lord, we would just be the church to people around us that desperately need you. Father, again, we love you. and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.